Continuing week number 3 or 4 in our series on the Holy Spirit, and I've felt really led this week in the direction for the next couple weeks, next couple of Sundays, to kind of define the series with this name: Holy Spirit equals practical power. Everybody listen, say it with me: Holy Spirit equals practical power. Everybody say practical power. Practical meaning necessary and helpful. Something you need. You don't have to have it. It's necessary. You can try it without it, but it's necessary and it's extremely helpful. That's what practical is. Hear this. Jesus didn't send the Holy Spirit for your enjoyment. He sent it for your employment. He didn't send it so that you could have spiritual euphoria. He sent Holy Spirit so that you could be employed in helping him make witnesses of every nation. Amen? And so this morning, we're going to jump in. Last week was, the title was, In is Better Than With. Jesus said, I am with you, but he, Holy Spirit, will be in you. And we don't need a with you faith, we need an in you faith. We need the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in us. And where we're going the next few weeks is going to be just remarkable and simple teaching from God's Word. So, with that said, let me tell you, I don't have this in notes, because every once in a while there's something I want to say that you don't just to get fall into some routine and always look up at the screen. But listen, so this is one of them. But you need to know this. This is the groundwork for this week. God wants you to have three things. And we see them in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is so rich. And as I said last week, chapter 14 through chapter 17 are just amazing. And we see such a personal side of Jesus, as he is the picture of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't do anything except I see the Father working and then I go and join him. And that's a template for us as well. But we see throughout the way Jesus, even in the beginning was the Word was with God, and then John 40, that we beheld him. The message says he moved into the neighborhood and we beheld his glory. Full of grace, full of truth. John 4, he meets the woman at the well who had had 5 husbands and was living with a man. And the way Jesus went out of his way, a Jew going through Samaria. And you see pictures throughout the Gospel of John where there's three things we see that is revealed that God wants us to have. One is, God wants you to have confidence that he is real. He doesn't want you doubting, you know, are you in the right religion? And confidence is available. And you can know, you know, all the different politically correct options and religions that are out there. You know, you can get to your place, a place in your journey with the Lord that where you go, we're not in competition with Muslims or Hare Krishnas or any. There's a confidence that you can have without a doubt that God is real. The God of the Bible has revealed himself. God wants you to have that. The second thing he wants you to have is intimacy with him. He wants you to like really know him. Listen, Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Listen, I've prayed for my children since they were born that they would not just know about God. They grow up in the church. They're going to know something about him. There's a big, big, big difference in knowing about him and knowing him. God wants you to not know about him, not to be doctrinally or theologically smart. He wants you to know him intimately. And that's not something that threatens manhood, intimacy. It threatens pride and ego. So in that sense, it does threaten it. But to know something intimately is to know a person's heart. Like when I pray for my wife, one of the things I'm most appreciative of is her trustworthiness. I don't know how I would live in a marriage with someone that I couldn't completely trust. And she's loyal, and there's a million other things. And she reciprocates love, and it's not a conditional give or take. And to know her intimately is to know her heart for me. And it's for me to make, in intimacy, it make, I want her to know my heart for her. And God wants you to know him that way. Not to be fearful or, you know, trying to punch off a to-do list for religious stuff. He wants you to know him intimately. And the benefits of your faith are in intimacy, not from a distance, or knowing about him. And then the third thing God wants you to know is that he wants to bless you. It's part of the plan. It's the deal. You are a living, walking billboard of how good God is. You are a witness. You're an example. You are an illustration. And he wants the whole world. You're salt and light in that regard. God wants you to know. He wants the world to know that you're one of his children. And when people see you, they go, you must have a great spiritual father. Thank you for asking. I do. That's what God wants. Listen, he doesn't want to bless the person beside you. He does. But don't get caught up. Don't be going like, I know all that's true for everybody but me. No. God wants to bless you. Bless you. Make life rich and meaningful, abundant. He wants to prosper you. How many of you will receive those three things? I want to know God. I want to have confidence he's real. I want to know him intimately. I want to know his heart. And I want to be blessed. Now, don't put number three in front of number one. You know? That's not intimacy. All right? Everybody ready? All right. So, Holy Spirit equals practical power. Practical, necessary, and helpful. Just, if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, or if you've missed one, if you missed last week, I would encourage you to get the podcast or go on Facebook and check it out. What we started was just a simple sermon reading scriptures, okay? And we start in John chapter 14. In John 14, Jesus opens up and he says, look, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? He's preparing them for life on planet Earth as a believer in him, with him not being on the earth anymore. Verse 12, he says, truly, truly, talking about what it's going to be like when he leaves. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And then the next section in verse 16 says, the caption in the NIV and the ESV says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So everybody listen. You know, God had to have a great plan to send Jesus here for 33 years, give or take a few months, and then minister only 3 years and give or take a couple months, and then for him to leave. If I was God, I would have kept Jesus in the earth. Just the quality control, the managing, the nobody ever going, where is he? You know, I would have kept him here going, yeah, he's resurrected. You can go see him, you know. I would have done that. But I would have so limited the expansion of the Christian faith. And Jesus, God's plan was greater. How many of you, listen, I'm going to try to not stop at every point of revelation that I see. But what we choose is a good plan, often, because we're smart enough. And we love the Lord and care for people, and we want to see his kingdom come. So we choose good stuff. My plan would be a good one, not a God one. And God's oftentimes stretches our human thinking, and you go, ah, we're coming back to this in a few minutes. Ah, but his plan is so much better. Jesus, there was one of him. He had 12 disciples. When he left, there were 12 Jesuses. The day of Pentecost, there were 120. Then there were 3,120. And that's God's plan. And so as Jesus is getting ready to leave, his plan included us getting clued in to to what life without Jesus physically present would be as a believer. And that is that we would be full of Holy Spirit power. Notice I said full. Everybody say full. How many of you honestly, you say, I need to be and I want to be full of Holy Spirit power. Amen. All right, verse 16, he says, you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We talked about it. Verse 21, he says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And here's where we pick up. That was all review. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, and this is a great question here, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Good question. How is it we will see you and the world won't? There's benefits if the world could see you too. How is it? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will, I love this, we will come to him and make our home with him. That's intimacy. He will live with us. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. How many of you in life sometimes need a helper with a capital H? How many of you need a counselor with a capital C? How many of you need an advocate with a capital A? How many of you have recently found yourself in a situation that you're hurt, you're confused, that's not what you would have chosen, you don't like some circumstance that's been inflicted upon you, and you just want to react in the flesh, but you need some counsel, some divine help. Or you need, we're coming back to all this, laying groundwork, just dropping little seeds. Okay, we'll come back and pick them up. They'll be full-blown plants in about 15 minutes. But listen, how many of you, every once in a while, catch yourself where you just need to be reminded of something Jesus has said to you? I catch myself, or I should say he catches me sometimes by just reminding me what he said. And let me remind you, what he said was words. And the word of God is alive and active, sharper than double. And he created the earth with his voice, what he said. And so when I get reminded of something that he said with words, it recreates and reshapes and reframes my world, my emotions, my thoughts, my habits, my relationships. And that's a powerful thing. And Jesus said, Holy Spirit will remind you of the things I have said to you. Moving right along, verse 25, we just read 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. You know what I was thinking this week? Being spirit-filled, if you're a PC person, don't get mad at me, just work with me, okay? I know there's some Samsungers and some PCers, and we even have some people at work, like for IBM and stuff. I know y'all don't know who that is, but that's a company that has shaped technology. But being filled with the Spirit reminds me of an old Mac versus Apple commercial, Mac versus PC commercial. You remember, and the PC guy was like a nerd, and he was dressed up in his suit and tie, because that's how we used to dress when we went to work in church. And the Mac dude is like a millennial, and he's just with it, and he doesn't try hard. Just coolness just oozes out of him. And they were talking about, you know, like when a Mac computer opens up in a foreign environment, it says, hey, there's an HP printer over there, 5200. If you'd like to print anything, just let me know. There's a Toshiba fax machine, in case you've forgotten what a fax machine is. I can connect to it if you'd like to send a fax or scan anything. And then the PC computer opened up in the same foreign environment, and it goes, there's an HP printer, and it wants to know if I'd like to print anything. What should we do? Oh my gosh, there's a fax machine nearby, and it's sending signals asking me if I'd like to go out. Close me. You know? That's like the difference between life and Holy Spirit and without. In fact, there's a couple that we're going to, there's a little 2-minute segment that I want you to watch, and this is Holy Spirit stuff. Can you roll it? Can we back up, please, and roll it again? That's a PC up there running that system. It's actually a Mac, by the way. But there's a PC.
Life stuff like tech. Music, pictures, back, movies, please. Stuff like that. Well,
and I'm a PC. You know, we use a lot of the same kinds of programs.
Yeah, like Microsoft Office.
But we retain a lot of what makes us us.
But you should see what this guy can do with a spreadsheet. It's insane.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, and he knows that I'm better at life stuff like music, pictures, movies, stuff like that.
Well, what exactly do you mean by better?
By better, I mean making a website or photo book is easy for me, and for you, it's not.
Oh, that kind of better.
Yeah,
I was thinking of the other kind.
What other kind? Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, iPod, nice.
Yeah, it's just a little something to hold my slow jams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it works so seamlessly with iTunes.
You should check out iMovie, iPhoto, iWeb, because they all work like iTunes. You know, iLife. Comes on every Mac.
iLife. Well, I have some very cool apps that are bundled with me.
Well, like, what do you got?
Calculator.
That's cool. Anything else?
A clock.
Sounds like hours of fun.
Yeah.
Or at least minutes. Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. We've got a little network going here, and it was very easy to set up.
We speak each other's language.
We share our internet connection. There are all sorts of things we do together. Who's this now?
This is that new digital camera from Japan. Just came out.
Hajimemashite.
Hajimemashite.
Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Wait. You speak her language?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything just kind of works with a Mac.
Arigato.
Ne, that ends so otaku poku nai?
So?
Buongiorno. Hello.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
Hello, I'm a PC.
We have a lot in common these days. We
both run a Microsoft Office. We share files. It's great. We just get along.
PC? Yep. Okay.
Hi, I'm a PC.
Okay, we're past that. We can move beyond that.
Yeah, I had to restart there. You know how it is.
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, what? Macs don't have to.
We had him, then we lost him. I'm going to go get IT. Keep an eye on him.
Is that good or what? All you PC guys, just forgive me. Just work with me. It's a little illustration there. There's a lot of truth with it. It even connects with foreign environments, and it speaks different languages, even a heavenly language. The next chapter, John 15, Jesus says things like this: I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 7, listen to this deal. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Look, that's intimacy. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I got to pause right here. If you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, you're going to pray prayers that are going to get answered. That's a place of intimacy. Verse 8, he goes on to say, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Turn to somebody and tell them you're a friend of God. You are a friend of God. You're not a servant. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus says, all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Verse 16, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Verse 16, or chapter 16 opens up and he says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Let me just part right here. We're going to come back to this one too. Holy Spirit says things to us to keep us from falling away. Jesus teaches things, listen, so that your faith doesn't have to be up and down, inconsistent, weak, strong, weak, strong. Holy Spirit has been poured out so that we can mature as believers. Chapter 16, the work of the Spirit goes on to say, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I could stop there, but I'm not. Just know, it's better that Jesus is in heaven and he has sent the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe that to be true? Because the Bible says it. That's not Pentecostal doctrine. That's not charismatic theology. It's not Pastor Chuck or Restoration Church's opinion. It is better that he has gone away. Verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus, the ultimate, consummate teacher, there's things you'd like to say to the disciples, but they're not wired to receive them yet. But when he comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Let me pause right there. We talked about this last week, about the necessary understanding truth and how necessary it is that we don't live in deception, self-deception, or anything else. But here, and so I won't revisit that, but last week we talked about it. Here he says that he will also reveal things that are to come. How many of you would love for that to happen? And it's possible. Let me just give you an example. I was in Guatemala last week, and I went down and I was scheduled to speak one session, general session, at the Guatemalan Pastors Conference 2019. But the Lord had spoken to me that I would be speaking twice, and I was only scheduled to speak once. And the way it happens is, you oftentimes, when you get invited into a new arena to speak, they only schedule to speak once in case you're a bomb, you know. And if you bomb, they're sitting there going, well, at least we only have him on the schedule once. And if you do okay, they think about inviting you for the next year. And the Lord had just spoken to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, be prepared to speak twice. And that was so helpful, because I spoke the first time on Vertical Church, and right after that, as people were leaving the room, the leader came up to him and he says, Pastor Chuck, do you have anything else you feel like you should say? And he interrupted and he said, I'm not asking you if you have another sermon. I know you have a sermon. You're a pastor. I'm asking you, do you feel like you have anything else to say? And I said, Herman, it's interesting. Holy Spirit had already told me that I would be speaking twice. And he said, I want you to do the closing session tomorrow. You go, that's coincidental. No, it's way more than that. Hear me. In your life, are there some things that if you knew ahead of time, you'd be better at handling them? Of course you would. Talk back to me, somebody. If you know, what I hated in school were pop quizzes. I hated quizzes. I hated tests. But pop quizzes, that's like not fair. And you didn't tell us there was going to be a pop quiz. That's what a pop quiz is. How many of you know life is full of pop quizzes? You've just had an hour morning devotion and the coffee tasted perfectly and you're out on Georgia 400 and here comes some imbecile pulling out with road rage. Pop quiz. You say something to your wife or your children and they react and something inside you goes, ooh, blah, 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 blah. Pop quiz. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can help us in advance to know what's coming? Now, it's not like, you know, magic eight ball or a fortune teller or anything, but Holy Spirit, oh, please don't think I'm selling you a line of bull. This is intimacy with God, that you can walk like this. How many of you want that kind of intimacy? Come on, how many of you are hungry for that kind of relationship, that you can stay on task, you can stay on purpose? Amen? Where am I? Verse 30. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will declare things that are to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. At the end of chapter 13, he says this, verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble or tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Being full of the Holy Spirit doesn't secure you from trials or tribulation or difficult, troubled times. But what it does do is he reminds you that Jesus has overcome the world, death, hell, and the grave. Well, that's Jesus. No, it's also you. Because he overcame, we are overcomers. All that he has given to us. And so Jesus is saying, when you face your cross, when you face your Roman guards, when you face your crucifixion, just know I overcame. And Paul says the same power that raised Jesus up out of the tomb is alive in us. Therefore, no matter what, we are overcomers. And Jesus says, listen, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And I want you to know, and I want you, Restoration Church, to know, you are overcomers. We fight from victory to victory, from glory to glory. We are overcomers. Say it with me. We are over. Listen, preach it with me. We are overcomers. Now, just wrap a couple of these things up. We're going to go quickly because I want to draw something this week. Just summarizing the stuff we've quickly gone over, that in seminary, this is a whole semester. Jesus says, we will make our home with him, anyone who loves me. He says, he, Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and remind you all that I have said to you. He said, my Father is a gardener. He wants to ensure your fruitfulness, and he is glorified by you being fruitful. Jesus teaches us these things so that we may have his joy and that our joy may be full and complete. He no longer calls us servants. He calls us friends. Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away. He tells the disciples these things to keep them from falling away. He has many things to say, but the disciples weren't able to bear them. But Holy Spirit will reveal them and declare things which are to come. Jesus teaches these things so that we will have his peace. In the world, we will have trouble, but we can take heart, be encouraged, because he has overcome the world. And then lastly, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. And we haven't even gotten to chapter 17 yet, where he offers a high priestly prayer. I want to do something just to help us walk through and understand this. This is going to get a little bit tricky, but I hope we can help everybody see this. Who is the father of our faith? Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, a couple other places in the New Testament, it says that he's the father of our faith. And he kind of blazed the trail. And all that God, listen, please, all that God promised him, he promises us as well. The commitment, the way he operated, there's a template there with Abraham that is our template as well. Now, I want us to just see how God works and our how desperately we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 12, look what it says, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will, look, number one, I will make you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Number four, not only will you be blessed, but you will be a blessing. Verse three, there's protection involved. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right, look at the promises right here. He says to Abraham, first, I will make your name great. Everybody look here. He actually even changed it from Abram to Abraham. A whole sermon there, but listen. God wants to make your name great. What does that mean? It speaks of character. That when people hear your name, there will be a respect that comes with knowing who you are, who that name is attached to. And God says, I will make your name great. Now listen, for your character to grow, you're going to have to go through some stuff because you don't learn character in the classroom. You've got to be in some moments where it's hard to trust God, but you trust him and he comes through, and then your character and your faith grows. God says, I'm going to make your name great. Look at me, brothers and sisters. God wants to make your name great. He wants to give you the character to match the calling that he has for your life. He wants to make your name great. The second thing, he says, I will make you a great nation. Oh, and by the way, the scripture kind of throws it in. Look here. Here's a man who has no children, and God is saying, and his wife is old and well past the years of bearing children. Listen, God is, this is the start of the Jewish people. This is the start of the Hebrew nation. This is Israel. And you're starting with an old man who is barren and his wife can't have children. And you're saying, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Well, God, a baby might be the next step. And you throw it in. God's just making a promise. It's not the you part that's so important. It's the I part. God says, I will make your name great. I will make you into a great nation. How many of you want to get connected to that I? Listen, he says, yeah, I know how old you are. We're starting something here. This is the Bible. God knows what he's doing. He knows that there'll be generations, millennia later, that people will go, yeah, Father Abraham had many sons had father. God knew all that was coming. So he starts with a 75-year-old man. It's all, this is how God breaks into our world. He wants to break in and go, yeah, it's impossible. That's how he does things. He specializes. He looks for situations that have, people have passed their prime. He looks for situations where people have sinned and like Moses, they're on the, not in the desert, they're on the backside of the desert. God comes into situations and into yours. You're not disqualified. You might be more qualified now than you've ever been because God is trying to save the world and he wants to send a billboard message through your life to your friends that you serve an awesome, awesome, awesome God. Praise his name. Thirdly, he says, I will bless you so much that you'll be able to bless others. That's God's plan, not that you become a reservoir, but a conduit. If he can give it through you, he will give it to you. You determine how trustworthy you are. He wants to bless you so much that you're able to bless others. That's God's template, the father of our faith. We are his children. That's his template, his promise to us. Number four, I'd love to have this one. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who don't bless you. We have that. That's the protection, the glory of God. And lastly, all the families on the earth will be blessed through what I am doing in you. Is that a great promise? Now, here's the issue. Here's Abraham in Haran. Two R's. And he says, the promise is, Abraham, I want you to leave your father's house, all that you've known. Ah, God, I thought you were going to make my name great. I thought you were going to make me into a great nation. You're taking things from me instead of adding things to me. How about we just stay here? Because this makes more sense. You know, there are people that won't go on a mission trip because they just don't even want to try foreign food. Seriously, there are people. I know pastors who go, I got to have my coffee. I can't live on refried beans. Yeah, you can. You're so limited. If you'd be amazed if you just allow God to stretch yourself. If you just leave Roswell every 10 or 15 years and just see how big the world is. Y'all know what I mean? There are people just so small-minded in business. No, I like getting $18 an hour. I've been doing it for 25 years. It's worked so far. Could you get stretched a little bit? Okay, I'll go, God. Oh, we're doing God a favor. I'll go. Just where are we going? Bible says he left not knowing where he would go. Let me just pause right here. Are you only going to follow God to the places that you understand and you know? This, if you remember in John chapter 3, this is where Jesus told Nicodemus, hey, Holy Spirit's like the wind. We don't know where it came from or where it's going. And those born of the Spirit are like that. I'll know, that'll stretch you. We're leaving, so pack up. And he packed up, not knowing where he was going. There's things in my life, I'll be flat out honest with you. When the Lord arranged and called us to come back here, I've told some of you this. If I had known everything it would have entailed, my flesh would have risen up and said, I'm good. It would have. I'm not lying. There's a reason why God sometimes keeps secrets from you. Because he knows your flesh would mischew. Are y'all tracking? Your flesh would go, I want to be in control. I'm not going to do that. Where if you don't know where you're going, you'll get in the midst of it and go. Now, I'm not talking about disobeying God and getting into crazy situations. I'm talking about obeying him and getting into situations where he makes your name great. He stretches your character. And here, if God had told Abraham, okay, I'm taking you to Canaan, the promised land, that's where we're going. Abraham would have been, okay, awesome, let's go. And how many know the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? Boop, 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 boop. How many of you know God never lets you travel in a straight line? How many of you know God never lets you travel in a straight line ever? So cancel that dotted line out. Because God's trying to make your name great before you get there, or you'll mess up the place of promise. So God says, just follow me. When we get to where I'm taking you, I will let you know this is the place. Are you willing to follow God like that? If not, you're missing out. This is why you need Holy Spirit. Okay, so, all right, God, we're out and we're going here. and we're trying to get here, and then we're wasting time, God, going here. God, I thought we were trying to get here, and then God goes, be quiet, now we're going here. And I could list all these places in the Bible. Okay, I trust you, God. God. Oftentimes, listen, this is how shallow we are, unfortunately. You're here with a promise to get there. And the first time you get derailed, in fact, God never even let you get railed. You're right here and you go, that's it. I miss God. I don't understand it. All my friends, they get to go, they get, you know, I'm out. If God wants to use me, if he wants to bless me, if he wants to make my name great, good. I'll be at church every Sunday, but I ain't doing that. That's how strong our flesh is. And we quit right here, and we go back home and live with mom and daddy in our safe little comfortable ecosystem that never challenges us. We don't even ever have to pray because we kind of got our needs met. We don't even have to ever. I bet you 90% of Christians on a yearly basis never even have to, in America, never even have to operate in faith because they're so self-contained in an environment. And it's right here when you have to go. And Jesus wants, let's transfer this to the 21st century. It's here when Holy Spirit gives you a promise, we're going there. And you're excited and you believe it. And you muster up the faith to go, okay, we'll go. I trust you, Lord. And we get right here. And you're tempted and your flesh is like, we're wasting time. My family is wondering, what have I done? And that's when the Holy Spirit needs to remind you what Jesus said to you here. Remind you God's promise here. That he will lead you in all truth. And here, you get to here and you go, you know what? I lift my hands. I surrender to you and worship, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing. I just know I'm not here because I disobeyed. I'm here because I obeyed. And the Holy Spirit in you will teach you the difference. If you've disobeyed, you need to go back here and make whatever you disobeyed right. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making your name great. I'm talking about him doing the impossible, making you a daddy of when you're 75, 80, it turned out to be 90 and then 100 years old, making my name great. And it's here, finally, when he gets here, and we get here. And there's so many trials when Abraham finally gets here. What happens? God says, this is it. He builds an altar and says, God, I dedicate this season of my life to you. Every time we see this, we're going to be reminded of how great you are. And then a famine comes. And where's he got to go? To Egypt. Comes all the way down here. And this, let's don't keep this in the Old Testament. This is Chuck and Candace. This is Abraham and Sarah. This is Donna and Terry. This is you. And you get here and you go, God, you promised me. God's just saying, you got here and your name's better, but it ain't great yet. We're going to Egypt. It's a famine, no food. God, how'd you do this? This is when you get here and you need Holy Spirit every day, every hour, every minute. I do too. I got an email one day this afternoon, one afternoon this past week, and it didn't sit well with me, and it kind of hurt my feelings. And I had to have, this happens on an ongoing basis. I had to go, all right, back up and look at that. What are they saying? What does it mean? I go, okay. What was I thinking? And I promised you, it's just like that. It's like the Holy Spirit, God, sits down and says, let me counsel you through this. Holy Spirit's that real. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I get here in Egypt, And then, in case you're thinking Abraham was all that and a bag of chips, he wasn't. He got down here and lied about his wife. Said, that's my sister. And God is so committed to making his name great. God made this promise back here. The Pharaoh starts trying to mess with Sarah. And God's like, no, that's not the way we're going to get the promised child here. It's going to be through you, Abraham. And the Pharaoh comes back when he's been revealed that you lied about who she was. And we all are getting boils and our bodies are breaking and we're sick. And then and he says, Abraham, take her. Y'all get out of here. And they bless him with all kinds of stuff. And God is making his name great. And you go, well, at least I haven't lied about who my wife is. This is, are y'all tracking? This is in the Bible. This isn't a CBS miniseries. This isn't Steven Spielberg. This is the father of our faith. He lies about his wife, and God gets him back on track. And then, in case you forget, he gets impatient. He's not willing to wait on the promise. And yes, Abraham slept with one of the servants, and Ishmael was born. And from the father of our faith also comes the Muslim faith. Wow. You are a scandalous God. He is. I don't have time, but this is us. This is why right here you go, Pastor Chuck, we're in counseling now and it's not looking good. And our divorce is a matter of time. Pastor Chuck, this is why you need Holy Spirit. You need what Jesus taught about in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Is God speaking to anybody this morning? If he is, would you just raise your hand and just receive his truth? Come on, if we're going to praise the Lord, let's honor him for his word. God wants to make your name great. He says, I will make Brian's name great. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you so much that you will be a blessing. The people who bless you will be blessed. Favor. People who don't bless you, I will curse them. He says, I want to bless every person on the planet through you. That's God's promise to Abraham and to you and me this morning. And for us to be able to walk in that kind of destiny, you must have power of Holy Spirit operating in your life. Stand with me, everybody, all over the room. We praise you, mighty God. We love you, Lord.